Hi, everybody. My name is Patricia. Gosh, it's bright up here. Okay, I'm going to breathe. I am a very, very grateful member of Al-Anon. Wow, now I'm going blank. Let's see. This program has given me a life that I couldn't have dreamed of myself. When I first came to Al-Anon, my best thinking was like that much. And it wasn't having anything to do with my intelligence, how smart I am. I feel like this thing is in my face. But really, it had everything to do with the way that I grew up. So let's see. At a really, really early age, I decided my mom wanted nothing to do with me. Really, she couldn't stand me. And so all I had was my dad. And my dad took me under his wing. At least this would be my story, right? I was his protege. And he would tell me, "You have my brain. We have the same brain." And that was a superiorly intelligent brain compared to the rest of the smart people. Forget the dumb people. We were very smart. And I remember he would tell me, you know, "You're going to do this, and this is how you're going to live, and you're going to be, you know, we were talking about this today, you're going to be an independent, strong woman. And the only way for me to achieve any of that and, you know, realize my true potential was I had to do everything he told me to do. And so if I ever strayed from his idea of how I should live, I was stupid, like under his foot. You know, if I ever had any of my own independent thinking, it was like, really, don't even talk to me. He wouldn't talk to me. So I worked very hard to just do what my dad wanted. And the other thing is, it's just so interesting. You know, one of the things that I experienced growing up in a family affected by alcoholism was there was a lot of stuff I heard people say. And so I would cling on to that. Never mind what they do. He said, you know, and there would be times where he wasn't talking to me, but I would overhear him telling somebody else about my accomplishments. And so to me, I'm like, oh, he does love me. He does care for me. I am still, you know, in his good graces. You know, never mind he's, you know, got me in the doghouse. And, you know, that to me meant he loved me. And that really had a profound effect on me. You know, this idea, I didn't know it at the time, but really, to have a place to belong where somebody cares about me, it really required for me to abdicate my own life and my own thinking and my own wants. And yeah, you know, I didn't know all this when I came to Al-Anon. I had to work the steps to find out where I came from and how I'm affected and why I ended up where I am today. You know, also in my childhood, there was pretty bad neglect. There was physical abuse. There was sexual abuse. And, you know, these things that I experienced, it was somehow, I find interesting, it was much easier for me to get in like a wash in the drama of the pain of those experiences. And, you know, really what I've learned is that those events exacerbated the ways that I am affected by, you know, an upbringing and, you know, alcoholism. You know, I already have these deranged relationships and ideas about how to interact with others, and this was just compounding it, you know. At the very basis, really, I was very alone and gosh, really alone and really sad and really afraid. But you would never know that. I remember a friend of mine told me, wow, you were the most confident of all our friends in high school. I seem to be a very outgoing person. Yeah, but that never, like, you could never know what was actually going on inside. Anyways, I don't even know why I'm telling you guys about this, but whatever. Fast forward to my young 20s. I was dating a guy for about 5 months. 2 months of those, I was out of the country. And when I got back, we decided to elope. That was what we were going to do. And so we eloped. And when we got back, his mom called me to her room. And she had me sit down on her bed. And she just looked at me and she said, now, Trish, you have to understand, he's an alcoholic, okay? And I'm the only one who knows how to deal with him. And I remember I just kind of nodded at her and I, you know, blinked and, you know, because I'm nice, I'm polite. And I just kind of went, uh-huh, but inside I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't know any, really, you're tripping. Wow, see, I know. And, you know, I always like clung to this one day when we were dating and he was in this horrible mood. And I went to his house and I opened all the blinds and I got him out of bed and I'm like, come on, let's go. And he was pissed. He's like, you know, really resistant, but I got him to come. And so I drove him to Tennessee Valley Beach and the whole thing turned around. Like, night and day, right? And he was just, you know, going along and we're hiking. And he took me in his arms and he spoke poetry in my ears and he said to me, you make me want to live. That was a big deal. Like, just the year before, I was visiting him in a psych ward where he was 5150 for trying to kill himself. And here now, what I heard from him is that I make him want to live. And, you know, this is what I had been trying to do in my family. You know, I was the only one really that my dad seemed to take under his wing. My mom told me all her problems. My brother, I was always the one in between. And so I tried to have that power to keep my family together and I couldn't do it, you know. And here I switched over to him and now he told me I have the power to do this. And when I came to Al-Anon, all I cared about, this best thinking that I had, all I cared about was show me how to get him to drink properly. So we've got a problem. How do I get him to drink properly? And once I get that, I can go back to the business of being special to him. That's all I cared about. I just wanted to be that special person again. And I just realized that the other day. It wasn't even about him drinking properly. It was about how he sees me, because my whole life was all about that. So empty. Yeah. So about a month into our marriage, he and I were driving to San Francisco. And we went to go get gas and he got out of the car and I grabbed his cell phone and I called some of our friends and told him, we're coming out there, let's hook up. And they're like, yeah, cool, okay, we're doing it. So he got back in the car and I said, hey, so I called and, you know, I told him we're coming over and he was like, what? And he got really pissed off. Why did you do that? And I was stunned. I was like, because they live there and we're going there. Like, I didn't know what to do. He was so mad. And we're in the car, and after some silence, where I'm deciding, never again, never again. No, I'm never going to do something like that again, because I was so scared he was going to regret having married me. And then he said, look, I just want to spend the day with you. And everything, I'm like, oh, he just wants to be with me. You know, and the thing is, though, is that I never called my friends and said, hey, guys, change of plans. we're not going to go there anymore. Because, some, like, really, I couldn't see calling them without admitting somehow that something horrible just happened. I did not want to know that. All I wanted to think about was, he wants to be with me. He wants to be with me. And this was a regular thing. I learned this at a very young age, to hear what I want to hear and work it out in my head the way I want it to go. Just a lot like how Liz was talking. Like, I'm going to hear what you say. I'm going to twist it around so it fits my idea. You know, but that was the beginning of swallowing myself in our marriage. I had been doing this for years and years and years growing up. Didn't know that the way that I grew up set me up very well for the kind of marriage that I was going to have. Within about a year, I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to explore teaching and take a look at some of that stuff. So I started taking some community college courses. And, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, do that. And then when the time would come for me to go, he'd be like, oh, are you going to those classes? And I'd say, well, yeah, see, because, I mean, like, I really wanted to try this out. And, you know, like, it, you know, because it'd be, and because, you know, and I would give him, like, you know, 5 to 10 sentences of explanation about why it should be okay for me to want to do this. And that was another thing. I was always trying to explain and make it okay that I can do something and please, like, let me, you know, go. And so he would just be like, ugh, when I go. And the whole way driving there, I knew, you know, but he never said, don't go, or I don't want you to go. It was just always this unspoken thing. And then one day I was on my way, and he goes, oh, you're going to class today? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's Thursday. And he goes, oh, well, I just thought maybe you would want to stay home with me and watch Seinfeld. And I went, oh, really? But he wants me to stay with him. So I stayed home, and really, that was pretty much the end of me taking classes. And, you know, these were these incremental decisions that I made, that I decided, that I went along with, because I thought this would be the thing that kept me the apple of his eye. Really, like, that's all that mattered to me. And then he would take care of me. See, I'll take care of you. You take care of me. And I had this really magical fairy tale thinking. I really, really wanted our lives to be like that. Didn't turn out that way. Time and time again, and it became more and more often and more common, something would happen, and I wouldn't know what happened. What did I say? What did I do? And he would become very angry, and he was mean, really mean. And I wouldn't know what I did so bad. That was always the thing in my head. What did I do so bad? What did I do wrong? I'm never going to talk again. I'll just stop talking. These were my answers. This is what I decided. And I remember one time whatever it was he said, and I was really hurt and upset, and I'm sitting next to him in our bedroom, and Seinfeld's on, and he's laughing. He's laughing at the show. And I remember sitting next to him, and I was like, I just can't. I can't be sitting next to him when he thinks something's funny and ignoring me right here. So I went to our guest bedroom, and I slept there. And the next day he came, and he was in such a rage that he grabbed me out of the bed, and he threw me out the door of our apartment, and he was like, if you're going to be my wife, you need to sleep in the bed with me, and don't you dare ever. And I remember I begged him to let me back in. You know, it's like really thinking about that could be so humiliating, but really that was what happened. And we were supposed to both of us go together to some friends in Half Moon Bay, you know, meet my dad there. And it was just like, oh my God. That's how I lived. That was before my kids were born. So that was within the first couple of years of our marriage. I was pregnant with my second son when I got to Al-Anon. Just tell me how to, you know, get him to drink properly. And what I just described is how I lived for a lot of years in this program, working the steps. I would have big, you know, big crisis happen, you know, some horrible fight, and I'd call my sponsor, and this is what happened, and this was when I was willing to call, when it got really bad, right? Because otherwise I was just going to report in and let her know what I figured out on my own. And really, she'd be like, okay, you know, are you packing your bags? Well, no. Are you going to tell him to leave? And I'm like, well, no. What do I do? Tell me what to do. And she's like, well, I guess you're going to have to work the steps. And I'm like, what the hell does the steps have to do with this? But I wasn't about to go do anything different. So that was my only alternative. Every time I get, well, I guess I have to go home and cook dinner and iron his damn fuck clothes. You know? I was the one who decided to be his wife and stay that. So that was what I started to do. I remember I would tell her about, you know, that thing about him laughing at Seinfeld while I'm in the bed, that happened a lot. And so what I did was, well, I am going to go to the other room, and I'm going to go because I'm going to take care of myself. And I remember telling my sponsor about that, and she said, you know, I'd really like you to stay. Stay? While he's just like acting like nothing just happened, and I've got like daggers all in my heart? And she's like, yeah, you really need to know how you live. You know, I thought that was taking care of me. You know, I thought that was detachment. Really what it was I'm just going to go over here and act like that didn't happen over there. What else can I tell you? It's really interesting, you know. I've been thinking about, it wasn't too long ago, I was at a meeting, and there was somebody just sharing, and he was talking about an interaction he was having with his daughter, and I was having a huge reaction to what he was saying. And in a lot of ways, I was like thinking about it like he was my dad, and you know, talking to me with what he was talking about, what he was doing. And I remember, like, I'm in the meeting, and I feel like I can't breathe, and I need to get out of there. And another member had just left, and I'm like, well, I can't leave because she just left. And, you know, and then finally I'm like, just, you know what, take care of yourself and go. Just go. So I went, and I just walked out, and then it was just about ending, the meeting was. And then I called my sponsor, and I talked to her about it afterwards. And I told her what happened. She's like, wow, that's too bad. And I'm like, wait, what's too bad? That I left? That I had a feeling? And she's like, yeah, that you left. And, you know, talking to her about it, it was so, so good for me, because really what it came to was when he started talking and I had this big reaction, what I did was I decided that I had to shove down all of my feelings, which is what I've always done. You know, Marielle was talking about zip it, lock it, put it in a pocket. I know how to do that. You know, I shut that stuff down. And when I should be talking probably is when I don't. And, you know, I was telling my friend, it feels like this hand just like smashing me down, like an elephant standing on my chest. And what I discovered after that conversation with my sponsor is that I'm the one smashing me down. What if I stayed in the meeting and I let myself have the reaction and start crying but be there? You know, I was telling somebody today, what if I sat in that bed next to him and like full presence instead of just trying to get him to notice me and how much he hurt me? Like, really, dude, take the remote and turn off the TV or do something. You know, but really for a very, very long time, I too was totally unwilling to tell the truth. I was so afraid of what somebody else's reaction would be. And also, you know, on my own, I don't know what that is. I am where I am today because I have worked the steps with a sponsor. And the other piece of that is that I continue to talk to my sponsor. I don't make any big decisions without talking to my sponsor. And a lot of times I make little decisions with her help. It took me a long time to become willing to do that. I grew up absolutely believing that I had to figure stuff out on my own and do it on my own, you know, and really, I'm not telling you anything that's in my head. Like, it just standing here, like, a lot of this thing I'm doing, I really, I'm having a hard time being in my body as I do this. This is so contrary to my belief system. That this is a really big challenge for me. For whatever that's worth, it doesn't even really matter, because this is me, whether I like it or not, flopping around. That was kind of graceful. That's, you know, that's what it feels like. But the best thing about that is I get to find out who I am in that flopping, rather than staying within those lines and the rules, right? And then I get to, within this process of working the steps, talking to my sponsor, getting writing assignments, you know, having these conversations, find out what rules I am trying to live by and whether I really even agree with them or not. I had this thing not too long ago. So today, I went back to school. I've graduated. I'm licensed now. I can actually develop a career. My whole life was about abdicating my world and, you know, having a man take me in, right? And take care of me. And today I actually am creating my own life. I just got offered a job today where I can actually take care of myself. This is a really, really big deal for me. And when I first got licensed, I decided, okay, I'm going to start my business. I'm going to do this thing. And I had this, like, stream of tasks, right? And, you know, what they say is, when you're going to start your own business, you got to work hard. You got to work really hard. And, you know, I was telling my sponsor, well, but you have to work hard. And she's like, I don't even know what that means. And part of me is like, what do you mean you don't know what that means? It means work hard. But, like, if I take a look at what do I think it means, what I realized was it means that every single idea that pops in my head, I have to pursue. Check, 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 check. Every single one. Do you guys know how many ideas I have? Holy shit. I mean, a mile a minute, you know? Ooh, 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 you know? And if I don't, failure. I'm screwed. And then, you know, really, I don't want to call my dad. I haven't had anything to do with my dad in, yeah, a good number of years. You know, I learned in Al-Anon that one of my fundamental difficulties has been really accepting the truth about who I'm with. At one point, my sponsor said to me, because I was telling her, okay, I'll work on that. And she's like, you know what? I've never said this to anybody, but I'm going to say this to you. Stop looking at yourself and start looking at him. Because really, no, just give me something else I can do. Give me something else I can do. I did not want to change how I was living until I finally did. My life is very, very different today. I could not do this without the steps and a sponsor. Not possible. I am absolutely, from the bottom of my heart, grateful to every woman I've ever sponsored and that I currently sponsor. It has enriched my recovery tremendously. I would not be where I am today without Saturday morning Danville, 11 a.m. That was sad. She said, woo. No, really. This meeting has been my home group for a lot of years. And this is a group where there are members who have modeled to me sharing stuff God, I can't believe you shared that. I have that, but, you know, they've talked about, we have our own slogans, like, that we, you know, throw out. And one of them was, you've got to be willing to let your ass hang out. And there's no, I am not showing you my, you know, and really, obviously, it's a metaphor for really sharing the truth about ourselves and what we really think. I have learned how to open my mouth and share and not try to make it look good, or I'm gonna put a bow on it at the end and just really like see what comes out of my mouth. That scares the hell out of me. These members have inspired me, all of you, with their fortitude and determination to keep on going for that character building instead of that comfort, you know, and living contrary to a belief system developed in alcoholism. It's really hard and really, so what? I like that. Okay, it's hard, you know, and I'm not the only one going, okay, because really I want to go, it's hard. Somebody else is like, yeah. And what? The alternative is I can go back and, you know what? I can call him tonight and say, let's get back together. I could. Because if I don't keep going this way, I might as well live like that. That's where it takes me. They've challenged me with that curiosity. Somebody was talking about curiosity today and attention. This is a group of people who really know me, really know me. And I've learned in Al-Anon how to be in relationship with people. And it's not necessarily all fluffy and nice, it gets messy, but I've learned also how to work through that stuff. The last thing that I was thinking about was this whole idea, like Liz was talking about dating and exploring that. And, you know, I've had people in my life say stuff like, oh, well, you know, you can always meet somebody and, you know, start seeing, you know, get on like dating websites and this kind of thing. And I haven't done any of that since my divorce. And the biggest thing is that I want my own life. Like, what I'm liable to do is meet a guy and move into his. This is what I've always known. This is what I've always done. I want my life. And then I can invite someone into my life. That's a really big thing to me. And it's like, that is so much bigger than, you know, people that I hear around me going, well, you know, do you have a boyfriend? Have you been dating? You know, this kind of thing, when they ask me this, it's really, I don't even have to explain or say anything. Nope. Not yet. One of these days, you know, I would like to get married again. Yeah, fundamental difficulties. It terrifies me, but I'm willing to try it. Not yet. I have a career to grow. What else can I say? You haven't shown me like a 10-minute thing. I'm just getting rolling. Let's see, you know? I mean, I got like almost 20 years of Al-Anon to talk about. And I'm like sort of all over the place. I was on the phone with my sponsor, you know, several times today. I have not arrived. I know a lot about myself. I have a lot of experience in this program. And yet, really, today I'm talking to her and it's like I'm still trying to manage everybody. You know, unless I'm talking and then you know, it's pointed out to me, I can't see this on my own. Because I think my ideas are good. You know? Al-Anon showed me how to live my life with others. And I can't think of any reason why I would stop. It's enriched my life. It's my life is better than it's ever been, ever. My relationships are more honest than they've ever been. And I couldn't do it without all of you, this program. Really. I couldn't do it without you guys. That's it. I'm done.